sessions, three sections?
We just recorded. This isn't three visual, right? Or whatever. So.
It's not visual, right?
No.
Oh, okay. It's just, so what are the three ones?
No, well, we're just talking about it for sure.
Okay. It's pretty informal. Just roll with it.
Welcome, everybody, back to the Reflex Blue Show from the Heinz Convention Center here in Boston, Massachusetts. I am your host, Donovan Beery, and I have co-host Ben Luters with me.
Hello, everybody.
And we've actually brought in two guests for this one. We have Denise Korn, and I didn't catch your full
Joseph
name.
Joseph Soda.
Joseph Soda?
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph Soda was in a youth design program that Denise Korn kind of... Now, you got a director here. He's here as well. You don't actually do
anything?
Okay,
I founded Youth Design 10 years ago here in Boston, but we're actually working with designers all over the country. And Joseph was in the youth design program last summer, so he finished the program. He graduated high school, and he's coming back into the program this summer. Before he matriculates as a freshman at Mass College of Art and Design in the fall. So,
whoa, that's exciting.
It's awesome.
Now, for our listeners out there, what is the youth design program?
So youth design is focused on targeting turnaround high schools and at-risk youth in urban populations and bringing professional designers into their world. So the core curriculum happens in the summer. These are all kids that we identify through our relationships with the public schools as kids that have a real penchant or a talent in design or creative field, and we align them with professional design mentors for a 7-week paid summer job. So last summer, Joseph worked at Blue Cross and Blue Shield at their in-house design collaborative, and his creative director and mentor is here today. He's attending the HOW conference. They had a little bit of a reunion this morning.
Yeah, so. That's exciting.
How do you guys go about finding the places to place that your students at?
It's been an interesting journey for me, but over the years we've established the fact that we need a lot of partners to target the kids that would be the population that would be best served by this work. And so we work with, here in Boston, we work with the Boston Public Schools, we work with the city, we work with civic leaders, and we work with a lot of youth-based organizations like YMCA and the Boys and Girls Clubs. And the folks that are in the communities and working with these kids get to know them, and they feed us potential candidates for the program that they think would be the right fit. And then we push them through a pretty extensive interviewing process to identify the best kids for the program. And then we match them with the right work environments and design mentors in the field.
How big of an area does your program cover? Is it just the Boston area? And how large is it? Do you go a couple hours out?
Yeah.
Drive in?
Well, I am.
Is it a 3-block radius?
Yeah.
Is it just Joseph?
No. So
I mean, it looks like.
You know, it's not my day job. So I started this under the fiscal partnership of AIGA nationally. And so we work with the national design community, and we're running the summer program just here in Boston. But in Boston, it covers pretty much we call it the greater Boston area, so it goes out to 128. We work with firms that are, in a 20-mile radius, sometimes a little bit further out. But they're all accessible by public transportation for our urban kids. And the kids predominantly live in South Boston, Roxbury, Dorchester, Mattapan, and are predominantly, they're all in public schools, but we're targeting the turnaround schools and the schools that have the most limited resources for arts education.
So. No, that's fantastic. How many kids did you say are in your program, and what did you start out with when you started out with doing this?
I started out without a clue.
Okay.
I had this idea that this would work, that I've been very involved with the design universe for many years. My company is 20 years old, and I've been around the block a few times, and I feel like there's this brain trust in professional designers that's not being tapped into to solve a lot of really big issues that are happening in the world. So I started out without a clue, and the clue that I got is that the kids are there, they're ready, they're incredible, they're very eager and grateful for the respect of being brought into areas that expose them to all kinds of opportunity. And then the big surprise was that the designers are totally turned on by these kids and really enjoy having the access and the connections made between local communities and kids that are right in our purview and bringing them into the professional work world. So,
And did you start, when you started this out, was it just like a couple students or was it like one student? And where is it right now?
So I started it out with an idea and I brought it to the city of Boston because the city of Boston runs a really extensive summer jobs program for kids. And they looked at me like I had five heads. I thought, okay, I can't do this just with the city. So I do it with the city and with the design, with AIGA and with the local design associations. And we place kids into all kinds of design fields, not just graphic design. So we work with architects, interior designers, communication designers, interactive media, corporate in-house, which is where Joseph worked, and also small agencies, ad agencies, like anybody, fashion designers. And it's anyone who wants to work with urban youth and share their world. And then we started out with a cohort. I think I had five kids the first summer. And because it's a paid summer job, as much money as I could raise would be how many kids we would place each summer. And it was just, I was just testing the waters around the creative economy notion that this could be a potential economic driver on so many levels. And it just kept working. So we did about between five and ten kids for the first few summers. And then I was like, man, this is a lot of work. This is a lot of energy. It's all volunteer. I either need to start serving more kids or I'm going to stop. So 2 years ago, I filed for a 501c3, sat a board of directors. We went from 8 kids to 16 kids in that first summer. And then we bumped it up. Last summer, we had 28 kids. And this summer, we have 32. And it's starting to sort of mushroom. Next year, we're aiming for 50. And we're also adding the second year component in school curriculum, where this past year we talked about 25 large public school audiences of high school kids. So we're touching a lot more kids in different ways than we were before.
No, that's wonderful.
Joseph, when we were walking up here to do the podcast, I was handed this awesome little package. And can you describe to our listeners what I'm attempting to open at this moment?
Okay. So what we had to do during youth design was a contest in which we had to design for the greater good. And my whole focus was smoking, and it became a more personal...
Or not smoking.
Yeah, I was going to say. So your whole focus at the school was smoking.
So it became more personal, and I decided to take this on a more... personal level. I did not smoking because of the problems that have occurred in my family with smoking. And so my mentor told me that before you can solve any big world problems, you need to hit the ones that are right at home. And so the anti-smoking ad that I did was how I tackled this contest.
Can you describe the image? We're going to see if we can link to it on our post.
We can actually put some of these. If you look in your browser window right now, if you're viewing this on your iPod or in iTunes, you should be able to see the images as a pop-up. Mm. If you're viewing this on the MP3 player, you're just going to have to use imaginations.
There you go.
Picture smoking is bad images.
That's right. How did you come up with the solution that you did?
The concept was really difficult, as simple as it looks.
Right. That's always how it works.
Right.
We had to sit down, and my imagination went away, and I was playing with Illustrator, and I was making these really cartoony designs. And throughout the internship, I realized that the most effective messages are the most simple ones. And so we just destroyed everything else that I did, and we went back, and we tried to take a more simple but effective method.
Mm. And... this looks like a packet of, these are, what these seem to be is like cards that you'd mail someone for their birthday only.
Yeah, those are the top 10 winners from the design competition last summer. And it's a package of note cards that we use to have people communicate about youth design and to share. These are messages that are relevant with our urban youth today.
And are all 10 of, now these 10 winners, are these all ones where they took the same approach where they took like a thing that they were dealing with personally,
yeah,
something that's personal to them, and kind of came up with what would be either a, you know, these would also make great posters and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, the assignment is to pick something that has personal resonance with them in their world as it relates to the greater good of society or of their community, and to create an image or a message that would communicate that, and to work really closely with their virtual art director and their mentor on the job to go through a traditional design process in problem solving and creating this final piece that's then submitted before graduation.
And how are these distributed?
The note cards?
Yeah, the note cards.
Well, we Sappy Ideas That Matter has been a tremendous, you know, fan of the work we're doing with the students, and so they support us by helping us publish the cards every year, and they actually printed the book that I wrote last year about mentoring. And so we have the note cards, and we use them with donors. We distribute them to educators. We use them as a mailing for all the people that volunteer with the organization. And they are for sale through the Youth Design website, if anyone would like to get some.
and is, what is the website address for our...
We are at youthdesign.org.
And you're also on Twitter at youthdesign1. All right. All right, we're going to be right back, and we're going to talk to Joseph about his experience in the program. So, Joseph, how was it that you found out about the Youth Design Mentorship Program in the first place?
I go to Boston Latin School, and what we do for art is we do visual arts, and there's nothing beyond basic art, illustration and sketching.
So very much fine art and no design, which I think that's fairly common. I know they're bringing... AIGA has a lot of work that they're trying to bring design back, you know, into like high school areas, but
it's not even that it's fine art, it's like really limited resource even at the basic arts level. So I think the kids just kind of get a long reach touch on what fine art even is. So
did your school hook you up with the youth design program, or
they did? The art class that I took mentioned youth design, and I was interested in graphic design. I have been dabbling in it for a couple of years, so I thought I'd give it a shot.
No, that's great. And how was it that you found the program? And did you think that the Blue Cross Blue Shield was a good fit for you in particular?
I loved Blue Cross Blue Shield. At first, when I heard that I got into an insurance agency, I was like, why do they need a designer? What's the purpose of this? And so this program lets you know, like, why every company needs a designer. And so going through Blue Cross Blue Shield, I seen through professional designers that, you know, every company needs a designer.
I just want to say that of all the insurance companies, Blue Cross Blue Shield has some sweet design. A new Blue Cross Blue Shield building has been built right close to where we work in Omaha, and it's fantastic, like the architecture, and I love that color of blue. Do you know what exact color of blue that is?
No idea.
Little put you on the spot for a second there.
What when you were there, did you get to work? How big was the team that you got to work directly with? Was it a mentorship where you just had one person there, or what did they take you in and associate you with like the entire staff?
There was a whole in-house design team that I worked with. I worked specifically with Paul Lee, and he's the art director there. But I was given the chance to talk to a lot of other people there as well, especially the graphic designers that worked under him.
What was the thing that you think you learned the most from your seven weeks there?
I was exposed to a lot. I had this one idea of what graphic design could do to me for the future and where it would take me. So I think the exposure was really great, and it sort of removed me from my own like corner of what I was going to do in the future, and it sort of expanded my knowledge about the different parts of design and how many aspects and how multifaceted it really is.
And was this like an 8-to-5 job that you had to go, or was it more of a part-time thing? Did you?
Yes, it was an 8-to-5 job.
Very corporate then, probably. Did they make you wear a tie to work?
Button down.
Oh. I like it. That's fun.
So since this, how did this change your perception on the design world? What is the thing that you probably changed your mind the most of after seeing the program, and probably, I assume, being a lot more involved with design than you were before?
So I was the first one to graduate high school, and I will be the first one entering college.
From your family?
My entire family. So,
oh, congratulations.
Thank you. The first person to say I'm going into an art-related field in my family, everyone's very shaky because, you know, the arts, everyone's really worried about if you're going to make enough money in the future. And so when I told my parents I wanted to go into design, they had no idea what my future would bring me. And so when I actually took this internship and I showed them how much I really learned and how, you know, multifaceted design field is, they loosened up and they actually understand now that design is a very important part of every aspect of our life.
It probably helps that you are working at, you know, such a recognizable company that I'm sure they had all heard of, and it's like, whoa, I guess you're not just going to be a starving artist on the street after all. Yeah, that's wonderful.
It's pretty powerful.
Yeah, it seems like it.
And what was it? Why was it that that you put him in the Blue Cross Blue Shield of all the locations, or do you personally pick what
I
students
do.
Go where?
I do. I mean, until our capacity gets so crazy that I can't do this, I actually do all the matching with a team of volunteers. And because we're rallying the designers from these companies to step up to the plate, I kind of know the designers and we meet the kids. Sometimes I purposely pair kids opposite of what I think that they should be. And I think when you interviewed, you had hot pink hair. He was like pretty funky and out there. And I'm like, I think it would be really great for Joseph to experience the other side, because I think he has no problem thinking and living outside the box. So I actually purposely put him into a more corporate setting, whereas some of the more corporate and more uptight sort of conservative kids, sometimes we move them into like a karma loop or into a funkier. It's all about exposure and about pushing them into places that are new. I have a funny story. One kid called me. It was Suffolk Construction is a big construction agency here. And Abraham, this really great guy, he called me. He's like, I don't want to do construction this summer. That's why I'm doing youth design. I'm like, Abraham, chill out. You're working in the marketing department of Suffolk. And he had the most amazingly successful experience.
Yeah,
so
the
it's
most
kind
construction
of
there is maybe like assembling the office chair or something.
Right. No, but I don't think about, but insurance, he probably was like, oh my God, this is going to be awful.
Now, since you've been coming out of high school, I assume that, you know, you don't have a full grasp of, like, the design software and stuff. Was that something where they actually put you on a computer, or did they keep you more conceptual, sketching? What was it that they kind
of went? I was put directly on a computer the first day, and I sat down with their in-house designers, and they went through what their job is every single day and what they were going to do in terms of what I could do inside of the field.
Well, I'm just going to give you a heads up. That'll probably ruin you for your intro to computers class at your college, because you probably already know enough to get
Well, we're ruining it all over the place, because what we've done is partner with Adobe now, so all our kids get a full day of training. You just did that, right? Were you at MassArt a few weeks ago?
Oh, no.
Okay, well, anyways, Joseph's coming back as an alum, but we had a full day, a full morning of Photoshop, a full morning of InDesign, so that when the kids show up for work on the first day, they're not totally blindsided, but they're learning a lot. Mm-hmm. On the job.
How do you like the programs? Are you transitioning well into that?
Well, I started doing my own little dabbling in Photoshop, and I used to think that I was, you know, could get away with just designing in Photoshop. And then after taking a class today, I realized that InDesign and Illustrator have their own purposes, and Bridge, and you connect them all together. And
a little high five action, in case you were wondering what that was. Yeah, no, absolutely. And what you'll find is it may not even be Photoshop, but you'll find ones that you're more comfortable in, or you just really enjoy being in. But each of them have their very own specific functions. So certain things you just do not want to do in InDesign, and certain things you definitely wouldn't want
that
to do.
That 20-page insurance form, doing that in Photoshop, not such a good idea.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to take one final break. When we come back, we're going to wrap this up and play a little more of our Pass the Question game. All right. What now? Outside of the youth design stuff, what are you guys actually doing at Howard? And Joseph, did this program actually get you a free pass or hook you up with one?
They did.
That's nice. Fantastic. So what have you gotten out of house so far? And for the listeners out there, you know, even though you're like, well, how was like, you know, 6 weeks ago or 7 weeks ago? In this case, we're at about the halfway point through the conference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so I went through one class that taught a lot about color and how to
think about color.
What's the
calibration?
Calibrating.
Okay.
I don't even know if I know how to calibrate.
I know. They did. They talked about calibration.
So they talked about calibrating color and the difficulty with printing out images and how they don't look the same on the monitor as they do when you print them out. And so with this new calibrating mechanism, you are able to get the same color you do on the on your screen.
What is the one thing that you're most looking forward to that's left in the conference? What is or what is the thing that you're most excited about just being at the conference in general?
I mean, at rather than just being with me?
I mean, that's obviously the best thing. But
that might be the correct answer. Yeah.
No. Okay. What else is on your roster?
I really enjoyed the How to Be a Design Professional. I took that class, and it was really motivating.
Who gave that one? Do you remember the name?
No.
I'll look it up. You know, to be honest, we ask these questions to a lot of people that are here, and a lot of people we interview are speakers and whatnot. And a lot of them just look forward to just the socializing and the hanging out. And that's one of the beauties of How, especially for us, because like yesterday we saw one talk and we were here all day because we were recording podcasts and whatnot.
In this room.
Yeah, in this room. Yeah. So, but I mean, that's the beauty of it is you can meet new people, you can network and, you know, this stuff.
And there's an energy by hanging around this many creative people. I'm assuming true. You got a little bit of that.
Many different hair colors as well.
Right. Yeah, you went all conservative for this one.
Or are you like, why don't I go back to pink?
Or yeah, that's true. I went back to baby blue or something like that.
Denise, you never know.
I can't even imagine that you're so conservative.
I'm a brunette, in case you guys are wondering, since you know visuals here.
I used to have a red strawberry blonde hair, but it's now kind of, you know, short or removed. Denise, what are you doing here other than the conference itself? I hear you guys have a table or a booth out in the hallway.
Well, my business partner and I hosted the studio tours all day yesterday.
For our listeners, you guys are, what's your company's website?
My company is called corndesign.com. It's KORN.com.
Which is like blasphemy. I mean, we are from the land of C-O-R.
Yeah, we are the corn
you know,
huskers
and
here.
Not corn with a backwards K either. It's KORNdesign.com. But my partner, Javier Cortez, and I have been running Corn Design here for 20 years, and we hosted the studio tours for the How Conference, so we had a lot of visitors from all over the world yesterday. It was very cool. It was like 100 degrees in the shade here yesterday, so it was a crazy hot, weird day. I almost would rather have been sitting in this nice air-conditioned space.
It has its perks.
Youth Design has an information table downstairs because How has been super supportive of the work we're doing with urban youth across the country, and we really feel that designers need to learn about what we're doing and use us only as a vehicle so that they can make a difference in their own communities. And so we're here to really talk to the national and international designers that have come around the table about some really critical issues and how they can help.
Well, I really appreciate what you guys have done so far, especially with introducing people like Joseph into the design profession, or soon to introduce him to the design profession as he's going
freshman
to
his, in college.
Yeah, going freshman in college. And also, even like Joseph's family has now learned more about design, which can only help our profession as
right,
well.
Right, right, right.
Absolutely. I mean, I just don't want you to ever take for granted. This is an amazing blessing that you have, because, I mean, how many kids are just figuring this out the last years of college, you know, switching majors, and like, I should have been a graphic designer. Even me, I wasted a lot of time when I first started going to school, and it's like, you've got a head start. So, I mean, I'm expecting some amazing work coming out of this
trial.
You'll try. You better.
He's a real star.
All right. Now we're going to wrap up the show with our Pass the Questions. We had the last show, we had Luke Micey and Diana Valentine on. Mm-hmm. And they have a couple questions for that, you know, you can either one or the other answer, you can tag team, or you can, you know, both answer separately.
Yeah, actually, Luke has a question specifically for you, Denise. It was, what is the biggest thing that you've gotten out of mentoring others? So it's pretty open-ended, but what's the biggest thing that you've gotten out of mentoring?
I learned so much from working with these kids. We focus on high school urban youth. I have really grown a huge understanding about a community that's like less than a mile away from where I live, which is a totally different universe. And I have a much better understanding and respect for the barriers that these kids wake up with every day before they even try to go to school or try to like sort of function in society. So they've opened my eyes and they've opened my heart in a way that I never expected.
And Diana has.
Well, let's switch that around. Joseph, we'll ask the same question, but what is the thing that you've gotten the most out of from being mentored?
I really like the exposure, and I'm really glad that Denise gave me this opportunity, because there are a lot of people, a lot of teenagers like me, that are sitting there in a classroom saying, look at me, I'm a star. Can you please, you know, put me somewhere? And when you sit down with a professional designer, there's no opportunity like that you'll ever get. And I really enjoyed sitting down with someone and them telling me how they got to where they are, because there's not one path that you take to get to where you are.
He's probably one of the most articulate people
on the show. He's amazing. I'm like, you're coming to all these with me.
Yeah, if you're ever in Omaha, we could definitely use the upgrade.
How old are you again?
Yeah, no, that's fabulous. And we can use this one for both of you as well. Diana Valentine, who's been giving a lot of talks motivating people in this conference, a good friend of ours, has been on the show numerous times. She wanted to know, we'll start with you, Denise. Can you tell us a story of when you were goosebumpy giddy? Just meaning you're just so excited and happy about something that you just, like, you got goosebumps.
Oh, my goodness. I'm trying to think of which category. Goosebumpy giddy.
This is the way Diana Valentine thinks. I don't think I've ever heard words
smashed
up.
That's just her regular vocabulary.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we can edit.
So I'm going to try to keep it on point with our conversation here. this kid, Abraham, who I was talking about earlier, he got off the elevator at Arnold Advertising last summer. It was the first week of the program. All the kids were pretty much deer in headlights for a good couple of weeks. He gets off the elevator, and we were meeting the designers at Arnold, and he cannot move away from the window. It's on like the 50th floor of the Pru, which is right here. And I'm like, Abraham, dude, you got to come in. We're getting ready to start. He's like, Denise, I've never been up this high. That gives me the chills, because in 2 seconds, we changed his whole perspective on his world.
And he was probably goosebumpy giddy.
Or goosebumpy.
I don't know if giddy. I was just, it kind of changed. The simplest things can have such a huge impact. Mm, so, is that a good answer?
I think that's a good answer.
I think it's excellent.
Yeah.
I'm getting chills right
better,
now.
Yeah, that's good. There you go. So, right now.
Joseph.
Goosebumpy giddy. Joseph.
Okay, so it was the third day at Blue Cross Blue Shield this summer.
You can't be goosebumpy giddy at an insurance company.
Yes, you can.
Oh, man, this is changing my world.
I'm paying him big bucks under the table right now. What happened?
And so I had a Sprite in my bag, and on the train ride there, it must have shaken or, you know, got all bubbly. And so I'm sitting down, and I'm ready to eat my breakfast in my own cubicle with a, like, 40-inch Mac computer right in front of me, and I open the Sprite and it explodes everywhere. And the only thing that I could think of was just laugh because, you know, nobody else is going to sit there and go, what's wrong with this kid? Or they're going to go, do you need some help, you know, cleaning the Sprite off of my screen, you know? So I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, let me just smile. It's my third day, and I hope everyone else isn't irritated by me already.
That's good.
I love it. Some good stories. It's an inspirational podcast.
All right, and we need to get a question from both of you for our next guest, who is Christopher Chapman, whose card here says he's the Global Creative and Innovation Director at Creative Inc., which is part of Disney Destinations. That sounds like a big title.
Wow.
Yeah.
And if you got the word Disney in there, anywhere, it doesn't matter where, you're somebody that's quite remarkable. He has a little Mickey Mouse on the car.
He could just play one of the mascots at the thing.
I think
but
he
Disney
might be
Disney Destinations,
Mouse.
It might be hospitality. It might be like their whole, like, or you think it's the theme parks? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
It doesn't matter. It could be nothing related to him.
My question for anyone who's doing creative at Disney is, how do you keep reinventing the happy ending?
Mm-hmm. That's not bad.
How do you keep reinventing the happy ending?
My daughter is obsessed with Disney films, and it's mainly because they all have happy endings. And I'm like, okay, you're growing up now, chick. We're going to move you out of this happy ending thing. But I would imagine Disney needs to...
What's her favorite Disney movie?
Mine?
Hers and yours. Mine was always Robin Hood.
Oh, that's a great one.
Oh, I gotta say Bambi.
I did watch a lot of
Bambi. I don't know if that has the happy ending.
It actually is bittersweet, but I relate to a lot of the characters. I'm not a Cinderella girl.
Okay.
What's your
daughter's? favorite one?
Oh, God. Well, of recent, she's really into, I'm afraid I'm going to say something that's not Disney now, so. I don't know. She basically is sort of non-denominational, loves all of them.
So whatever's the newest one?
No, but, I mean, she's getting older now. She's 15, but she still likes to watch them. Mm. She's a Cinderella girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
Princesses. Okay. How about you, Joseph?
My favorite Disney film would have to be The Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid.
So that dates me, because...
I think that's one of the few I never saw. For some reason, my sisters went to the theater... And also
there's
in the
some
theater
good music was, going on in there too.
Also in that theater was Weird Al Yankovic's UHF, and I went to that instead.
Mm, yeah.
I don't know if that was the right choice, but anyways.
Oh, it was the right choice.
So, Joseph, do you have a question for, is it Christopher?
Yes.
So if you work at Disney Hospitality, do you guys feature Disney films in the locations?
All right.
We'll find out.
To be continued.
This was
all right. All right, well, thank you very much for being on this. It's youthdesign.org for more information. And you can leave questions, comments, and comment on your favorite Disney film at 36point.com.
Goodbye, everybody, and thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.